You're listening to the Today programme. It's just coming up to 18 minutes past 8. And I'm joined now by Mr. Jack Straw. Mr. Straw, Amnesty International want to know why you can't release General Pinochet's test results. Apparently anyone can fake senility if it'll get them out of a tight spot.
Who's General Minishape? Are you my son? Yes. Oh, have you come to fix the telly, young man?
Dead Ringers.
BBC Radio 4. News at 8 o'clock. Flu in Britain has reached epidemic levels. Here's Michael Burke with a special report.
Good morning. And as the sun rises over the country, it brings with it another miserable day for the people of Britain. This man is 30, and I watched with tears in my eyes this morning as he struggled downstairs to find a tissue. This woman told me how she had to walk half a mile to the shops just to buy some Lemsip. And the government are doing nothing to alleviate the suffering. And it's a heart-rending, emotional, devastating sight. Over now to Terry Wogan.
Hey there. Now, I'm here to remind you about this year's flu sufferers in need. Hey, everybody's helping out. In Ethiopia, a woman's doing a sponsored walk for 20 miles to the nearest water supply. And in Somalia, a whole family have promised to go without food forever, just to help the people of Britain.
You and me, Wogan, any time. And Comic Relief are also raising money for the ill. Here's Griffith Jones.
Hello, yes, indeed. This is England, and everyone here is sporting a red nose. Nothing to do with the charity, it's just that they've all got a shocking cold.
And you, Griff, any time. And top musicians are organising a benefit concert for our flu-struck nation.
Send us your f***ing money. We want your f***ing money now. These people are sniffing, for God's sake. They have runny noses, sore throats, slight temperatures. These are human beings and they're mildly poorly. So send us your f***ing money now. Remember, just £1 will buy a packet of lockets.
Oh, get off there.
Hold on a minute.
And now back. Don't hold on a minute, me.
Oh, monsieur. No one ever notices me, and Band-Aid was more my idea.
Can somebody get rid of that Scottish midget before I have to do him? And the next news on Radio 4 will be at 9 o'clock.
Look, I've already explained what happened. Why are you still here?
I know, Mrs. Blair, I know this. One or two things that keep going around in my head that kind of... the kind of bother me. You see, you told me that the ticket office was closed, but when I ring the railway company, they tell me the ticket office was open.
Look, Columbo, I'm a very busy woman. I was in a hurry, I rushed past, and it seemed closed to me.
Oh, that's it. That's the reason. It seemed closed. Okay, but the thing is, Mrs. Columbo, when she's in a hurry, she buys a ticket from one of those ticket machines.
All right. I couldn't be bothered. I'm the Prime Minister's wife. I thought, ha-ha, I could do what I like. Look, here's my £10. Now, sod off and bother someone else.
Okay, thank you, Mrs. Blair. Oh, one last thing. May I have a picture of you, please?
For Mrs. Columbo?
No, I just need to scare the boyards off my lawn.
Hello?
Hi, Madonna. It's Woody.
What is?
It's me. It's Woody Allen.
Oh, hi, Woody. How's the wife and daughter?
She's fine. I hear you're trying to buy a property in London, England.
That's right.
It's incredible, because so am I, and why don't we buy a place together?
Oh, I don't know, Woody. I really don't think so. You know, we couldn't live together. You know, we're talking wild lifestyle, voracious sexual appetite.
You get used to it.
Okay, what sort of place were you thinking of getting?
But you know, you're a millionaire, right?
Right.
I'm a millionaire, right?
Right.
So we could just about afford a two-bedroom flat in Lewisham.
Now, Mr. Bond, I'm going to inflict upon you a torture beyond description.
You're going to strap me to a table while a thin laser beam slowly edges its way towards me.
No, far worse than that.
Smother me in fish food, then slowly, inch by inch, lower me into a tank of ravenous goldfish.
It's a nice idea. I'll write that one down, but... No, I'm going to give you this.
Looks like just an ordinary piece of paper, but... Oh, no, it can't be. A family day pass to the Millennium Dome.
Who do you think... Chaps, would you gather around there, please? Would you be awfully kind, you see, if you could just fall in there, you see? Would you be awfully nice? That's terribly good. Now, Captain Manning has asked me, you see, just to give you a little talk, you see, to you chaps, about the ban on homosexuals, you see, in the armed forces being lifted.
Yeah, that's not the only thing that's going to be lifted.
No. Now, Walker, you see, that's exactly what I wanted to speak to you about, you see. This really mustn't be an excuse for crude or homophobic double entendres, you see, such as...
They do like it up them, sir.
It's exactly, Jones, you see. It's rather cheap and rather offensive. Now, you see, gay men, you see, Jones, they fought and died in the British forces for hundreds of years, you see.
Might I be excused, Sergeant Wilson?
Well, it really isn't... It isn't terribly convenient, Godfrey.
I'm due to go cottaging with the verger at tea time.
Hello?
I just wondered if you'd like to join the Conservative Party.
Hello?
Hello. Hello, it's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Is that you, Judy?
Is that who?
Judy.
Judy?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I sound like Judy. I've been accused of being many things, but... it's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
I think that's Judy.
You seriously think that I sound like Judy?
Yes.
What, do you know a lot of blokes called Judy, for goodness sake? Is this Judy that you know as gravelly-voiced Yorkshireman with a bald head?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Then, madam, you associate with freaks and we don't want you in our party. Goodbye.
Bye. Hello?
Hello, it's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Oh.
Hi there. I just wondered if you'd like to join the Conservative Party.
Oh, thank you.
Listen, I'm the Prince, and I tell you, I think that my next opponent, you know, is a right good boxer. And I tell you the truth, you know, I'm dead scared of him. I am, you know, and I reckon that he's sure to beat me inside maybe 2 rounds. Because after all, you know, I'm not the best boxer in the world, is it, or nothing?
How refreshing. How Heineken.
Oh, it's now 8:29, and I'm joined by the Prime Minister, who's in our radio car. And is it not right, Prime Minister, that the Millennium Dome has been hijacked by its sponsors?
No, not at all, John. Wry smile. The McDome has been... it's been an enormous success. Sincere face. Granted that there has been a lack of interest in the gherkin zone, but all beef patty world has been tremendous. Very starry eyes.
And now part two of the popular new BBC series, Delia Smith's How to Read, the Delia Smith's How to Cook Book 2.
Hello. What you need for this are some essentials. A set of eyes, preferably your own. You'll also need some hands. I use these ones here, but you can use whatever you've got on the end of your wrists. By placing your hand on the edge of the book's cover and moving your hand in a sudden vertical motion, you will have a lovely opened book. Next week, I'll be showing you how you can make sense of the black squiggles inside. And until I'm back next week, don't forget to keep breathing by inhaling and exhaling air into your lungs, preferably oxygen you've bought from Sainsbury's. Goodbye, God bless.
Emma, as my daughter-in-law, I think it's high time we had a not inconsiderable chat about the facts of life.
Oh, yes, John, you're right. It had to come sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Well, when a mummy and a daddy who love each other in a very, very special way.
I, Emma, have got to tell you the facts of life. You know, where babies come from and...
Well, actually, John,
hear me out. Now, there are these things called toilet seats.
Oh, for heaven's sake, John, don't you read the papers. I am pregnant.
Pregnant? You mean you've had a visit from Alvin the Elf too?
Alvin who?
The Elf. Norma explained it all to me. Alvin the Elf. He's the magic pixie who visits your house when you've gone to work and leaves behind a little baby.
And I suppose Norma told you Jerry the Goblin also brings multiple orgasms.
Now, don't be ridiculous, Emma. There's no such thing as multiple orgasms.
Look, the fact of the matter is, John, I'm pregnant. And I got pregnant by your son doing to me what you did to the country for 6 years.
He introduced a Cones hotline.
Yes, that's right.
Now, Emma, tell me truthfully, are you sure you're ready for the awesome responsibility of looking after an unexpected little bundle of joy that's unable to make its own way in the world and is in need of being looked after for 24 hours of every day?
Yes, I am.
Good, because Norma's kicked me out and James said I could come and live with you two. Is that all right?
I'm sorry, is that the taxi company? Is that the taxi company?
Yes.
This is the doctor speaking.
Doctor who?
Well, I suppose you could say that. Tell me, sir, how much to go to Metabilis? It's at the far reaches of the Actian Galaxy, a wonderful place.
Oh, God, have we got one of you again?
Good evening.
Is that the taxi company?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, do you have cars available now?
Straight away, sir. Where are you?
Straight away. Excellent. I'm sorry, where am I? I say, what a very giddy individual you are.
We try to please the customers.
I was wondering, could you take me to the planet Metabilis 3?
Yeah.
You can. I am the doctor. Do you have any cars available?
Doctor from where?
Practically everywhere, my friend. Now, do you have any cars available?
Yeah, where from?
Where from? From the TARDIS to the galaxy of Inter Minor.
Yeah, I can get one there in 10 minutes.
It's 9:25. Now, Roman Catholic nun Dr. Lavinia Byrne has resigned from the Vatican, accusing them of bullying, and she's joined me now. What's the matter, Dr. Lavinia Byrne?
The Pope took my dinner money.
Then he tried standing up to him.
I did, but he said he'd get me outside the church gates after Mass.
Well, bullies should be taught a lesson. Don't worry, I'll get Brian Perkins to sort the Pope out. And now, as it's gone 8:30, I'll have to feign interest in some trivial topic that would embarrass Richard and Judy. Here's Norman Wisdom.
G'day, and welcome to Cartoon Animal Hospital. Now, I've got Wile E. Coyote here, and he's in a bad way because he's just run headlong into a fake tunnel, which was cunningly painted onto a rock face, would you believe? Then a train came out of it and smashed him to bits. Poor little fella. And here's his mate Roadrunner there with not a scratch on him. Now, he ran straight into the painted tunnel, completely unharmed, you know. But don't worry, because in the very next frame, the coyote here will be well enough to strap a rocket to his back or run off a cliff without noticing until he looks down. I think he's going to be okay. People have been laughing at him for months, but comic Ali G has certainly been accused by some people of being racist. He joins me now on the big screen behind me. Mr. G, are you a racist?
Booyakasha, I, wicked, big up Mr. Edwards, but the thing is, like, you know, a white boy who wanna be black, innit? That is the joke.
Black's not the only cool and trendy race either, you know. I mean, you've only got to look at me. I can get jiggy with the best of them. Come on, people in the house, make some noise. Come on down, me posse, Cardiff Massive. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone, innit?
Respect.
Shout going out to me Isabel Lang, who knows I am no batty boy. For sure, she showed me her panani. Respect to Isabel. Right, now high time for our odd one out round. Ian Hislop, here are your four nefarious ne'er-do-well nobodies. Angus Deaton, Ian Hislop, Paul Merton, and Keith Moon.
Is it that Moon, Deaton and I all went to Cambridge, whereas Paul went to a secondary modern and did woodwork?
Well, I know that's usually right, Ian, but not this week.
Am I the odd one out, because all the others have sued me?
No, nobody's sued you for years.
Am I the only one with a persecution complex?
Yes, but, well, the answer is, in fact, Keith Moon, who was in The Who, whereas you, me and Paul are all in the new Who's Who. So, no points there, but anyway, down with the establishment.
Can we have our $9,000 now, please?
Hi, John Lennon here. If I could have a one-to-one with anyone, it would be with Liam Gallagher. I'd punch him in the face. And I'd say, stop stealing my songs. Write your own, you untalented overgrown yeti.
So, is that your final answer?
Yes, Chris.
Sure about that?
Definitely.
You've just won £1 million!
How refreshing. How Heineken.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thor Heard last Wednesday, after Evensong, when, what did we hear on the wireless but Mr. Straw? Apparently he's the new Home Secretary. Mr. Straw thinks the English are, by their very nature, a violent people. Well, I was so shocked I nearly dislodged me doily. I could tell Thora was quite perturbed too, because she immediately put down her bone china, perambulated across the room, ripped the wireless from the Welsh dresser and hurled it through the window, narrowly missing Mr. Khan from number 42. No one touches my Marconi original and gets away with it, so in self-defence I fetched her one with a right hook. Without any further ado, she grabbed my Prussian hat stand, relieved it of my duffel, and advanced towards me, asking, "Do you like hospital food, Alan?" To which I could only respond with the time-honoured melody, "You're going home in a Yorkshire ambulance." And indeed she did. As I see it, that altercation was all the fault of Mr. Straw. And if he continues to spread vicious slanders about the English, I can only say to him, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, Mr. Straw. Of course he isn't.
Welcome to the Moral Maze. On the panel tonight is... Oh, my goodness. Well, it seems we have a fire in the studio.
Come on, you lot. You've got to get out quickly.
Our first witness tonight is John, a fireman tending the blaze. Dr. David Starkey, your witness.
Look quickly, otherwise you're going to be burnt alive.
So you say? I put it to you, Mr. Fireman, that your pitifully blinkered worldview is solely based on saving people from burning buildings.
Oh, you're wrong, you're
wrong. Is that enough, David? Janet Daly, your witness.
Mr. Fireman, your perceived desire to save people smacks of the nanny state.
Oh, sod it, I'm off to save Jenny Murray.
That's BBC Radio 4 on fire. I use petrol. I'm planning on doing Radio 1. Next.
Hello, Victoria speaking.
It's me. Guess where I am?
Heathrow?
No, closer.
Brazil?
No, I'm back. I'm outside the front door.
Oh, darling. I'll come and let you in.
Yeah, all right.
David?
You going to open the door then, or what?
Well, where are... Oh, no, you must have forgotten our address again, David.
I told a taxi to take me straight to Victoria.
Oh. Darling. I've been missing you.
Yeah, I've been missing you and all. It's weird that, it's way, you know, the way we always seem to miss each other at the same time.
Yeah, it's spooky, isn't it? Yeah. Mm.
Did you see me getting that red card then the other day?
Oh, that was so embarrassing.
Well, at least it wasn't yellow.
Yeah. That would have clashed with your new skirt.
Yeah. So, what's been happening with you?
Oh, well, my new television show was on the other night. Don't worry, I videoed it. You can watch it tonight, darling.
What if I'm out tonight?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it, silly? I'll just video it again.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah.
Love you.
Hey? Yeah, love you too.
Love you three.
Love you five.
Love you.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Stars in Their Eyes. Now, our first star in the making today is a young lad from Sedgefield, County Durham. Now, Tony, tell us who you're going to be tonight.
Well, Matthew, this person is someone who came from humble stock and went on to great things. It's someone I greatly admire and someone who I try and emulate, I suppose, in my own small way. Yes, tonight, Matthew, I'm going to be Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher!
I came from Grantham with a thirst for power. He came from Sedgefield, then joined the Oxfordshire. Now he's posh. With loads of dosh. Oh, yes. And he's even got the balls to send his kids to private school. I say, good. So he should. So they won't have to mix with common people. Have to see whatever common people do. Ever meet with common people. Have anything to do with common people like you or you. Or you there, sir. Or you, madam. Sorry, sir. You. Or even you, Jamie Shea. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Chris, darling. How did the show go tonight?
Yeah, fantastic. Nobody got even close to winning the million, and with the cash we got from the phone lines, we're laughing our socks off.
Oh, you're coming to bed, darling.
Yes, I'm just slipping off my bathrobe, revealing that I am indeed orange all over. But, of course, the big question is, are we going to be having rumpy, pumpy?
No, Chris.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, Chris, just get into bed and go to sleep.
Sure about that?
Yes.
Remember, still got three lifelines. You could go 50-50.
Look, I'm not in the mood.
Sure about that? I'm a very attractive man for my age.
Nope.
Phone a friend.
No, Chris, I'm not having sex with you.
Want to change your mind?
Oh, shut up, you tedious git.
So you're saying no, we're not having rumpy pumpy?
Will you listen to what I'm saying? No!
OK, you could have said A, we'll do it in the morning. Or B, I've got the decorators in. Or C, not since the Sophie Rees-Jones incident, but you went with D, simply no.
Sod off.
Is that your final answer?
Yes!
Damn.
Hello?
Hello, is that Keith Harris?
Yeah, speaking.
Oh, I'm very glad to have caught you. It's William Hague from the Conservative Party.
Oh.
Keith Harris and Orville, it's you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm sat here. I've just finished pantomime and I'm just driving home. I'm on hands-free. Actually, Orville's driving at the moment, so we're quite safe, you see.
Oh, right. That's very, very good. Listen, Mr. Harris, I won't keep you long. Reason for the call is that I have an idea for a party political broadcast and we'd very much like to include you in it, if possible. Now,
would you like me to do on it?
Well, I'd like you to appear, and I wondered if you'd be happy to include Orville the Duck as well, or do you like him to be a politically impartial duck?
Oh, well, he'd go along with anything.
Just a minute, hello. Is that Mr. Hague?
Yes, that's very, very good. Oh, my goodness me.
You see, you didn't know you could speak to a superstar, did you? I've just pulled out, can't drive and talk at the same time because I get funny looks, you know. I don't want to be pulled up by the police, you know.
I just wonder if you should be driving in that state of mind.
No, I don't worry about that.
I'll tell you the idea I've got, Mr. Harris. I was listening to Orville's song not so long ago, Between Some Motorhead and Cradle of Filth. And I love that Orville voice. Could you just sing the beginning of Orville's song now, and then I'll interject as we would intend to do so in the actual broadcast?
I'll have a go.
Go on, do it now.
I wish I could fly up to the sky, but I can't.
You can, and the Conservative Party will help you to achieve that. Well, listen, thank you very much, Mr. Harris. I'll get Central Office to be in touch with you and we'll sort that out very, very soon.
He's a
lovely doctor. So, my producer, he said to me, he said, Ronnie, what's in the news this week? Comedian Ali G has been mistaken for a black man. This was confirmed when he was arrested just for driving a new Mercedes. A new TV advert for the Doom, was launched this week. The slogan, it's soft, it's strong, and the queues are very, very long. That's the way I tell them. Emma Noble is pregnant. If it's a boy, they're going to name it after the last Conservative to be Prime Minister. She's always liked the name Tony. Cher has topped the list of the world's worst-dressed women. She was wearing something that neither suited nor fitted her. Her skin. Jerry Halliwell and George Michael went on a dinner date lasting 5 hours. She explained later it was 1 hour for the meal and 4 hours waiting for him to come back from the toilet.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by Alistair McGowan, Kate Robbins, John Coleshaw and Simon Lipson, and produced by Bill Dare with Danny Wallace and Mario Stiglionides.
It was written by Nev Fountain and Tom Jameson, John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Simon Blackwell, Ivor Badil and Ashley Baroda, Gerard Foster, Henry Naylor, George Jeffrey and Bert Tyler Moore, Robin Ince and Ed Dyson and Ali Crockett and Mike Weedy.
And finally, after the escape to India of a 14-year-old Tibetan religious leader, authorities in Beijing have said they won't make a crisis out of a llama. And it's good night for me.